This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Steve Kathan. Sentence handed down for a key figure in a murder case that reverberated around the country.
Former Minneapolis police officer Tu Tao was sentenced to nearly 5 years in prison by the same judge who found him guilty of aiding and abetting murder. The sentence is 6 months longer than the prosecution requested. Tao was also serving 3.5 years for denying George Floyd his civil rights. Video showed Tao keeping bystanders from intervening in the arrest of Floyd as another police officer kneeled on Floyd's neck, killing him. Al Schock for CBS News, Minneapolis.
Severe storms could pop up in some parts of the nation today. The Weather Channel's Jim Cantore.
West of Appalachia around lunchtime. We may even see watches before then. They're going to come all the way to the I-95, A-85 corridor about dinner time for a lot of people. And if you think about that, it's going to keep moving east all the way to the seacoast, even as we go through the overnight hours. And each one of these storms could produce locally heavy rain.
Police in Pennsylvania say heavy rain could have been a factor in the crash of a charter bus on an interstate last night. 3 people were killed. There's an investigation into the collision of 2 firefighting helicopters in Southern California.
Helicopter was able to land safely nearby. Unfortunately, the second helicopter crashed, and tragically, all 3 members perished.
Cal Fire's David Fulcher. Not too early to begin thinking about when to get a flu shot, says CBS News medical contributor Dr. Celine Gounder.
We think flu season is going to be starting a bit early again this year. So big picture, I would say September, October, and whenever you're able to get in, to get your flu shot is a good time to do it.
Overseas now in Ukraine, CBS's Remy Innocencio tells us a woman's been arrested in connection with an apparent plot to attack President Zelensky in June.
She was looking for the schedule for the president, for the location of electronic warfare systems and ammunition depots. That informant, we understand, was detained, arrested after she tried to pass on that intel to her handlers.
25 years ago today, deadly terror attacks at the U.S. embassies in Kenya and Tanzania.
Broken pieces of furniture, shards of broken glass, all being taken away here from the scene.
Our Robert Berger described what he saw in Nairobi. 56 American government employees and contractors were among those killed. This morning, Secretary of State Antony Blinken.
224 colleagues, friends, community members, and loved ones were cruelly taken from us, from you.
Checking Wall Street, right now the Dow is up 360 points. The S&P 500 is up 29, and the NASDAQ is ahead right now 25 points. This is CBS News.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring system helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Viking, committed to...
Find out what's going on in the world, the state,
and in your own backyard.
This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
It's 12:03. Good afternoon. I'm Terry Bell, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A series of hearings is underway to decide if a teenage murder defendant in Chippewa Falls will be tried as an adult or as a child. A ruling is expected later this week. Today, Judge Stephen Gibbs decided not to look at photographs as he makes up his mind.
To put it quietly, I've seen numerous homicide photos over and over and over again. I don't believe that it would supplement the record, so we'll just keep the photographs up.
The defendant is 15 years old. He's accused of killing 10-year-old Lily Peters last year. He's looking at life in prison if he's convicted as an adult. The Wisconsin Supreme Court is operating under some new rules, Pete Schwabe reports.
The High Court's new liberal majority voted to reduce the powers of the Chief Justice Friday. Those responsibilities now belong to an administrative committee made up of 2 justices appointed by the majority and the Chief Justice. Administrative meetings are now open to the public. Those meetings are used to talk about budgets, court policies, and other issues. The court is also forming a committee to study when justices should recuse themselves from cases. Conservative Chief Justice Annette Ziegler says the liberal majority held an illegitimate closed meeting to pass unenforceable policies. Liberal Justice Rebecca Dallet says the moves are designed to make the court more accessible and more accountable. Pete Schwabe, Civic Media News.
U.S. Capitol Police want to set up a regional office in Milwaukee. Threats against members of Congress are on the rise. Congressman Brian Stile is the chairman of the House committee that oversees the Capitol Police Force. He says it's a good idea.
To be able to bulk up those resources to protect members, their staff, as well as the public. I think it's important that we make sure that we keep everyone safe.
Stile was on Upfront on WISN-TV Sunday. Other new regional offices could be in Boston and Texas. A Wisconsin congressman's confrontation with a group of U.S. Senate pages is an issue in his reelection campaign. Republican Derek Van Orden berated the teens last month for lying on the U.S. Capitol Rotunda floor. Democrat Rebecca Cook tells supporters in Platteville the Capitol episode is part of a pattern.
His participation in the January 6th insurrection. He then went on to harass a young librarian in the Prairie du Chien Library. He then went on to carry a weapon into an airport. He now has gone on to, so it's I think, something that we've grown accustomed to seeing.
Van Orden hasn't commented publicly since right after the incident. At that time, he said he thought the pages were being disrespectful. There's a bill in Congress to help farmers share their knowledge of conservation practices in the face of more weather events related to climate change. More from Catherine Carley.
The Farmer-to-Farmer Education Act would help build and support farmer-led education networks so new farmers can learn from those more experienced in coping with droughts or floods. Erin Foster West with the National Young Farmers Coalition says while government agents can offer support, many farmers prefer learning from friends and neighbors they trust.
You know, a lot of young farmers are really motivated to have ecological stewardship on their farms and ranches, but they may not have that knowledge.
Foster West says farmer-led education can help newcomers ensure they understand the risks, costs, and best practices to ensure they can remain farming for years to come. I'm Catherine Carley reporting.
Wisconsin is now surrounded by states with legal cannabis in one form or another. The Minnesota Department of Revenue says sales could bring in about $110 million in tax income for that state by 2027. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
For WCFW and the Tap FM, I'm Jimmy Kuska. Here's what you need to know in the Chippewa Valley.
This week, a Chippewa County judge will decide whether the lone suspect in last year's murder of 10-year-old Lily Peters will be tried as an adult or if the case will be moved to juvenile court. A 15-year-old boy is charged with killing Peters and leaving her body in the woods near her home in Chippewa Falls on April 24, 2022. If he's tried as an adult and convicted of homicide, he would have to serve a mandatory life sentence. Judge Stephen Gibbs of the Chippewa County Circuit Court ruled that autopsy photos and videos would be sealed and would address other evidence as the hearings continued this week. A ruling on where the case will be tried won't happen until at least Wednesday, the earliest day that some out-of-town witnesses will be able to appear in court. A missing swimmer's body in the Chippewa River has been found. 26-year-old Justin View was in the Chippewa River near Putnam Park with a group of people tubing when he left the group to snorkel Thursday in Eau Claire. His body was found about 20 feet from where he was last seen near the footbridge for UW-Eau Claire. Eau Claire Fire and Rescue said they found his body Friday night in water 8 to 10 feet deep. A man was killed in a crash south of Kadot Friday evening. The Chippewa County Sheriff's Office said 30-year-old Jackson Kittleson was driving on Highway 27 when he left the road and hit a tree near 20th Avenue, about 5 miles south of Kadot. The crash is being investigated. Two people are dead and three others are hurt after a head-on crash on Highway 10 in Pepin County on Friday. The sheriff's office said 18-year-old Ethan Whitlam of Durand was killed when he drove across the center line and hit a pickup truck that had four people inside of it. The truck's four passengers were trapped in the vehicle when it caught on fire. A 12-year-old in the truck, Jocelyn Passon, died in the crash. The 40-year-old driver of the truck and an 8-year-old boy were flown to hospitals with serious injuries. A 36-year-old woman in the truck was taken to a hospital and released. The crash is under investigation. One person was killed in a rollover crash Saturday night in Russ County. The single vehicle crash happened about 2 miles northwest of Jump River on Highway 73 near Townline Road. The sheriff's office is investigating the crash. From the Civic Media Newsroom here in western Wisconsin, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
And now, your Wisconsin weather from Civic Media.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot with a look at your weather ahead. A partly cloudy day across the state, with highs hitting the low 80s. However, lakeside towns will stay quite comfortable into the 70s. Keep in mind there is a beach hazard statement in effect now until this evening along the shores of Milwaukee County, where waves will be climbing up to approximately 4 feet high, creating dangerous currents. Avoid swimming in the big pond today, especially near Bayview Beach, Big Bay Beach, McKinley Beach, and Bender Bay, as winds will be out of the north, gusting up to 15 miles per hour at times. And a few spotty showers and storms may fire up after 6 p.m., mainly into the Northwoods, and roll south towards the Green Bay area. None will be severe, and they will be quite brief. Tonight, temperatures fall into the upper 50s and mid-60s, with clearing skies as a high pressure begins to take over for a bright and sunny day tomorrow. Have a marvelous Monday, Wisconsin. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot, Civic Media News.
The Brewers split the series with the Pirates. Good afternoon. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers lost to the Pirates 4-1 at American Family Field and ended up splitting the four-game home series at two games apiece. Milwaukee didn't score a run until the ninth inning. Pittsburgh starter Johan Oviedo gave up only two hits in seven innings to score his third win in a row. Manager Craig Counsell got questions on why he thought the Brewers could not get a hit against Oviedo.
The fastball and the off-speed, he just made a ton of pitches. So the off-speed was really good and got us off his fastball. And the pitch mix was really good. The location was really good. First inning, we hit some balls hard, it felt like. And then after that, he was really dialed in.
What do you think of the at-bats overall for you guys?
I just described it, I think, pretty good.
Did you like the at-bats on your side of things?
Well, I think the other guys did a good job, and that makes it tough on our at-bats.
Brandon Woodruff retired the first six batters he faced, but gave up a pair of home runs in his return in five innings of work. The Brewers host the Rockies tonight, first pitch at 7:10. Elsewhere, the Cubs beat the Braves 6-4 at Wrigley. The Reds lost to the Nationals 6-3. Milwaukee with a game-and-a-half lead over Chicago and Cincinnati in the NL Central. College football, the Wisconsin Badgers continued their training camp practices over the weekend at UW-Platteville. Center Jake Renfro returned after missing spring camp with a stress fracture in his lower left leg. Renfro transferred from Cincinnati when Luke Fickell was hired as the Badgers head coach. NFL, the Packers had their family night at Lambeau Field over the weekend, over 65,000 fans. Quarterback Jordan Love overthrew some deep passes to start, but connected later with Christian Watson for a touchdown. Love finished the night 11 of 19. Packers wide receiver Romeo Doubs.
I mean, I thought Jordan did really good throughout this entire day. I mean, I know there's things to clean up on. This is a pretty good day for the O.
The Packers are now down to three quarterbacks, Jordan Love, Sean Clifford, and USFL quarterback Alex Magoo. Yesterday, they released Danny Etling, who had been with the team a year and a half, mostly on the practice squad. The Packers are back on the practice field this afternoon, open to the public, before they head to Cincinnati for a joint practice session and preseason game against the Bengals. I asked Matt LaFleur what's on the agenda.
Well, Monday, we're going to have a little bit of a lighter practice. I think we're scheduled for about 90 minutes. On Tuesday, we'll slow it down. We'll walk through, and then it's travel to Cincinnati and go compete against a really good football team, one of the best teams in the National Football League.
And the U.S. women's soccer team upset at the World Cup after being eliminated by Sweden. At age 31, America's Julie Ertz on the loss.
It's tough. I mean, you never... Obviously, we're proud of the way that we played. I think for me, it's just emotional because it's probably my last game ever being able to have the honor to wear this crest. But it's an honor to represent this team, and I'm excited for the future of the girls.
That's Team USA's Julie Ertz. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Did you know the Wisconsin State Fair is 172 years old? It still celebrates the industries important to our state's history, like agriculture. But every year, new attractions and items are added. This year, there's more than 100 new foods to try. So what do you think topped the culinary list last year? Flamin' hot Cheetos chicken on a stick? Deep-fried old-fashioned? Or Pino pretzel popper brat? The answer's coming up. The Wisconsin State Fair didn't start in its current home of West Allis. The first was in Janesville along the Rock River, then moved to different locations the next 40 years. The original cream puff has been around almost as long, close to 400,000 are gobbled up every year. So which food was number one last year? It was the Pino pretzel popper brat. It came out on top. The State Fair is a true slice of Wisconsin, and it runs through August 13th. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network. She's the newest of seven elected Wisconsin Supreme Court justices. Janet Protasiewicz begins her 10-year term in August when she is sworn in. It's a long-time tradition which includes use of the court's seal created in 1848. But did you know it features the scales of justice, but not carried by a blindfolded Greek goddess? Instead, a hand holds the scales, representing justice is in human hands. It also means everything is official once the seal is stamped on any court documents. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Partly sunny today with an isolated thunderstorm possible this afternoon, a high near 85. Mostly clear tonight, 59. Sunshine, 86 for Tuesday. Tuesday night, clear, 62. Some showers and storms possible for Wednesday, otherwise mostly sunny and 85. Currently, 78 degrees.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Welcome one, welcome all. Thanks for joining us today. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio where you are the star, you are the talent, and you will drive the talking points of the day. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. It's Monday. We got the squad in. Luke is here. Aaron is here. Gentlemen, how are we doing today?
Good. It's a Monday afternoon, back in the swing of things. Glad to be with you here on the airwaves across Civic Media.
Aaron, how are you doing?
Doing well. Had a nice weekend. Saw Oppenheimer. So now
Completed the Barbenheimer.
Yes, but you know, displaced by a week or so.
That's okay. What did you think? Which one was the better of the two, Aaron?
They're just so different. I can't pick one that's better. They're like,
all right.
And neither is exactly what I expected, but Oppenheimer is closer to what I expected because, like, it's a Christopher Nolan movie. You know what you're getting into. It's 3 hours. You know what you're getting into. Did it need to be 3 hours? I would argue no. I think we have a little bit of a George Lucas situation where he makes a great movie and then he, like, the movies make someone.
Nobody wants to tell him he needs to cut 20 minutes or 30 minutes. Yeah.
Nobody can tell him no anymore because he's just in charge. And,
I'm sure nobody wants to even tell him no at that point.
Because it's great.
They're just like, it's Christopher Nolan. He's got to leave everything in. And so,
it's still great.
I've not got a chance to watch either. So I'm behind.
You should. Both great.
I know.
I am right there with you, Luke. I have not watched either, though I do know that Barbie, of course, just passed $1 billion. So
billion with a B. Yeah.
Billion with a B. The go woke, go broke analogy seems to have not come to fruition in this situation.
Not in the least.
Not in the least. So, of course, I'm William Walter, Policy Research Director and Lead Training Organizer with Our Wisconsin Revolution. And we are here on my least favorite Wednesday of the week, Monday, to get back to town. Call Luke, I want to ask the people of Wisconsin today. Wisconsin continues to be the red lead step state in a sea of Midwestern green. Green, of course, in this situation, referring to recreational use of cannabis, but also the millions, if not tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars in tax revenue the state is directly missing out on. It is a whole lot of green in the Midwest now that Wisconsin does not have access to. My question for you, the viewers, is, are you all right with this? Is this embarrassing? What do you think we can or should do as citizens in the state to rectify this problem? I'm going to start with a
844-967-2789. That's what you start with, Will. You start with the phone number. We want to hear those reactions. 844-967-2789. You can call or text here on Town Call.
Well done, Luke. I am going to start with a piece over at the Wisconsin State Journal from this morning. Democrats in Wisconsin renew call for cannabis legalization after Minnesota recreational law takes effect. The legalization of marijuana for recreational purposes in Minnesota has some Democratic Wisconsinites again confronting the state's drug policies and recognizing the amount of tax revenue Wisconsin may be missing out on. Marijuana became fully legalized for recreational purposes in Minnesota as of August 1st, which I believe was last Tuesday. Wisconsin is now entirely surrounded by states that allow cannabis consumption in some form. Michigan was, of course, the first Midwestern state to legalize in 2018, Illinois, and now Minnesota. Even Iowa permits medical consumption as of 2018. They are years and years ahead of Wisconsin. Analysis from the Minnesota Department of Revenue estimates marijuana sales could bring in about $110 million in tax revenue by 2027. And in Illinois, dispensaries made more than, get this, Luke, $1.5 billion with a B in cannabis sales during 2022, with about 15% of those sales coming from dispensaries in counties bordering Wisconsin. Analysis from the Legislative Fiscal Bureau estimates half of those sales came from out-of-state residents. That same analysis found Wisconsinites contributed around $36 million to the $462 million Illinois received in tax revenue from cannabis sales in the fiscal year 2022.
Yeah, that is a lot of money, Will. We want to hear your reactions around this. Wisconsin now an island in a sea of green here in the Midwest when it comes to marijuana policy. Your thoughts on it, 844-967-2789. You can call or text here on Town Call. We encourage the participation. It is the point of the show. So 844-967-2789. We've got Jeff in Shorewood listening on WAUK 540 AM, the Shaw 101 FM, saying, no, the pot prohibition is not okay. Jeff from Shorewood's answer, for the fix, get fair maps and kick out the Republicans. So that's Jeff from Shorewood's thoughts on the matter. Is this something that, as you've pointed out to, though, Will, just there in that overview from the piece over at the State Journal, this isn't really a red or blue thing. This is a green thing. Iowa, deep red Iowa, as a state full of Republican lawmakers, has medicinal marijuana. Here in Wisconsin, not the case. We want to hear your thoughts. 844-967-2789. If you travel, if you're going across the state border, and this is something that you would partake in, you can share those stories. If this is something you're like, I don't care one way or another. Or if you vehemently oppose legalization, we want to hear from you too here on Town Call. 844-967-2789.
And Luke, there's an interesting quote in the article we're referencing from Melissa Agar, the Senate minority leader. Knowing that Wisconsinites are getting in their cars, taking time out of their lives to drive to these states and spending their hard-earned dollars in these states to invigorate a tax base and the economy in other communities, I know Wisconsinites would prefer to spend their money here. We're not talking necessarily, Luke, just about the whether you as an individual support or do not support the legalization. I think the main argument that has to be made here is how fiscally irresponsible it is for Wisconsin legislators to not legalize this. Again, we are talking tens of millions of dollars in a state that, with the budget debate that we've had over the past couple of months, we still have about a $4 billion surplus. You want to know how you can have an even larger surplus? You legalize cannabis, you tax it, and you're able to use that money to do whatever you want in the state.
They can do whatever they want with $4 billion right now. They're just sitting on a surplus. The lawmakers in the legislature and the governor could not agree to how to spend a $7 billion surplus. So through the standard budgeting process, they used roughly $3 billion of that surplus in the upcoming two-year budget, and there sits another $4 billion. So there's more than enough money to go around, Will. I don't even know if the money is the biggest argument right now. It is the fact that Wisconsin is getting left behind. The fact that there is a zero-sum game in a lot of these businesses and these industries. If Wisconsin is the last state to jump on it, Wisconsin entrepreneurs and businesses in our state are going to be behind the game when it comes to our competitors in Minnesota, in Iowa, in Illinois, in Michigan, everywhere. Wisconsin's going to be left behind on this. And that's the part that really is galling to me, is that the state used to be a leader in a lot of different things. And now we're stuck in this back and forth where we're not doing anything. We're letting other states take charge in these industries. And it is baffling to me to see that the state is an island when it comes to this type of policy.
Well, and Luke, something that you love to touch on very frequently is the state's lack of young talent, right? We're bleeding young individuals, what, $130,000 or 130,000 job shortfall in the coming decade?
By 2030.
By 2030. So to take these numbers a step further, a Marquette Law School survey in August of 2022, I just want to point out specifically how many Wisconsinites not only support this, but widely support legalization of cannabis, found an astonishing 69%. 69%, almost 7 out of 10 Wisconsin voters believe cannabis should be legal, with 81% of Democrats, 75% of independents, and 51% of Republicans. This means across party lines, majority support legalization of cannabis. But to reference back to young individuals, that same survey found 83% of those between the ages of 18 and 29 years, and 89%, 9 out of 10 people between the ages of 30 and 44 believe cannabis should be legal, with even those 60 plus voicing majority support at 53%. Everybody in the state, Luke, I don't think it's, it's slight hyperbole, obviously, but to sit here and say that everybody in the state believes this should be legalized, why don't our elected officials? I don't think that's that outrageous of a statement, because the numbers essentially show that. I mean, 83%, 89%, 81%, 75%. These are vast majorities.
Yeah, and it is interesting, as Jeff from Shorewood pointed out, that maybe the only answer to it is maps, but we want to hear not just the what could change this. What are your thoughts on it? What are your feelings? We want to hear them here on Town Call, 844-967-2789. You're listening to Town Call across Civic Media. You can listen on the Civic Media app. Take us with you wherever you go this summer. If you're out on the road or out of one of the listening areas, you just download the app in the Apple or Google Play stores. Type in Civic Media. It's free. It's simple. You can engage with the show right from the app. You can call or text, or you can dial us up the old-fashioned way, 844-967-2789. And this is, it's just, it feels, Will, like a recurring story where Wisconsin is just being left behind. You're seeing these other states, these neighboring states, take action. And I think that is part of what's contributing to young people possibly leaving the state. I don't think there's a multitude of factors there. And I don't think you can discount something like this, where if somebody is living in a nearby state in the Midwest, why what's attracting them to Wisconsin right now? Regressive policies like this and not taking action on this is huge. We want to hear your thoughts. 844-967-2789.
Keep in mind, too, Luke, half of all Wisconsinites above the age of 21 live within a 75-minute drive to a recreational dispensary. And that's with no recreational dispensaries currently in their state, which means people in Wisconsin that are living near the borders, which, again, is about half of all Wisconsinites, have the opportunity to go out of state, spend their hard-earned money, and they have been. The numbers show that they have been, to the tune of millions and millions of dollars.
Yeah, and we're seeing it. We want to hear your reactions to this story, 844-967-2789. And we got Wes from Middleton listening on WMDX, texting in on the Civic Media app, saying that Voss, referring to Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, won't give Dems a perceived W. The only way out is to toss the maps. So Wes agreeing with Jeff from Shorewood that it's going to take some leadership change in the legislature to make any changes on this. We want to hear your reactions. 844-967-2789. You're listening to Town Call across Civic Media. We're going to continue the conversation when we return.
Are you really high, though, man?
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
CBS News Brief. A former Minneapolis cop is sentenced to nearly 5 years in prison for his role in the George Floyd case. Reporter Amelia Santaniello.
Tu Tao was the only defendant who maintained that he did nothing wrong. A judge decided that Tao was guilty of aiding and abetting manslaughter.
The next move is up to attorneys for former President Trump after the Justice Department went to court in the wake of his outbursts on social media. CBS's Willie James Inman.
They have this 5 p.m. deadline to respond to what prosecutors want. In this case, this protective order would be very specific and would limit what Trump could say involving the case.
The BBC's Debbie Russ on the arrest of a woman in Ukraine accused of being part of an apparent attack planned in June on President Zelensky.
She'd tried to find out his itinerary ahead of his visit to the southern Mykolaiv region and had been helping the Russians to prepare a massive airstrike on the area.
CBS News Brief.
I'm Steve Kathan.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
For WCFW and the Tap FM, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Here's what you need to know in the Chippewa Valley. This morning, hearings begin as a Chippewa County judge will decide whether the lone suspect in last year's murder of 10-year-old Lily Peters will be tried as an adult or if the case will be moved to juvenile court. A 15-year-old boy is charged with homicide, which carries a mandatory life sentence if he's convicted, as well as two counts of sexual assault. Judge Stephen Gibbs ruled last month that autopsy photos and videos would be sealed, but did not decide whether prosecutors would be limited only to information in the criminal complaint filed with the charges. Peters was found dead in the woods near her home on April 25, 2022. Hearings are scheduled to go into next week in the case. The bodies of two people were recovered in Barron County by officials after a man's body was seen in the water near a running pontoon Friday afternoon in Pekegama Lake near Chetek. The sheriff's office said the bodies of 59-year-old Scott Brumman of Chippewa Falls and 59-year-old Doug Robinson of Chetek were found about 5 hours apart. The Wisconsin DNR is investigating. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
She's the newest of seven elected Wisconsin Supreme Court justices. Janet Protasiewicz begins her 10-year term in August when she is sworn in. It's a long-time tradition which includes use of the court's seal created in 1848. But did you know it features the scales of justice, but not carried by a blindfolded Greek goddess? Instead, a hand holds the scales, representing justice is in human hands. It also means everything is official once the seal is stamped on any court documents. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bar.
Professor Schwaber, what grade would you give the Supreme Court for their interpretation of the law?
That doesn't really work. The grade ordinarily would be how accurately and thoughtfully and carefully have you interpreted, you know, existing precedents. I tell you what, though, if I were teaching a course in, let's say, logic, and I was asked to grade this work in terms of its coherence and its rigor, a high D.
Wow.
A high D.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry and Jane Mattenair.
Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
AM radio provides always-on news, sports, talk, traffic, and weather reports. It also delivers vital emergency information when your community needs it most. A new bill in Congress would ensure AM radio stays in your car, because when cell and internet services are down, this free emergency service is critical. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Alba Show on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. 93.5. The Tap.
93.5.
The Tap.
Welcome one, welcome all, welcome back. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call or shoot us a text at 844-967-2789. We are talking about Wisconsin falling behind the rest of the Midwest as the sea of green has not allowed Wisconsin into its hallowed ranks as of yet, mainly due to our currently red-led legislature. But as the states around us continue to see the benefits from legalization of cannabis, and potentially with new maps on the horizon, as a number of our viewers have pointed out, this could change in the very, very near future. I'd like to hear your thoughts on this issue. We're going to go to the phone lines first. We got Aaron from Madison. Aaron, what do you think about Wisconsin continuing to fall behind?
Yeah, I was going to say, I live downtown by the Capitol, so I frequent a lot of the bars down there. And what I hear a lot of people that work at the Capitol say is that it's the Tavern League that's going to have to decide to let marijuana be legalized in Wisconsin, because, you know, they don't really want people to cut into their profits. And that's kind of like their number one thing when they get together every year for their weekend. That's like their number one thing, is to figure out how to not let marijuana be legalized in Wisconsin. So that's my thoughts on that.
Mm-hmm. Good point, Aaron. And to point or to just provide a little bit of context, the Tavern League of Wisconsin, according to their website, is the largest trade association in the United States to exclusively represent the interest of licensed beverage retailers. So I think the point that that Aaron's trying to make, and correct me if I'm wrong, Aaron, is we have this very, very powerful institution in the state of Wisconsin, a state that has a history of, you know, for lack of a better term, binge drinking. We are the alcohol capital of the United States. And these individuals are perhaps afraid of losing some of the power and profits that they have in the state if cannabis were to become legal.
Yep. That's exactly what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. And so what do you think, Aaron, in your opinion, what's the solution to this? If our legislatures understand that this is a problem, but the Tavern League might be big donors to their campaign, how do we convince these individuals that perhaps that cannabis would assist in their business? Something that I've heard amongst my young friends for years and years and years is a lot of the people who prefer cannabis to alcohol would stay home and smoke at home, right? Because cannabis is illegal. You don't necessarily have the ability to go to a bar and do so. But if they had the opportunity, they would love to go to the bars, hang out with their friends. Perhaps they wouldn't drink, but perhaps they're buying food. Perhaps they're supporting these establishments in other ways. Is the Tavern League just missing out on this, or have they misread the situation?
Yeah, no, I definitely think that it would definitely benefit them. Like I said, most of the bars I hang out at, people like to partake in both, and I don't see a problem with any of it. You know, I think people just got to keep putting pressure on the politicians and tell them what we want, and eventually they're going to have to listen.
Yeah, and I think
we like to think so.
It's important to point out, though, that the other external pressures that legislators may be up against when it comes to, it's not just public perception, because the last segment, Will pointed out the numbers that support cannabis legalization here in Wisconsin, and so it's important to point out what reasons may be causing them to not take a stance on this in the way that other states here in the Midwest have. And I think the Tavern League is a pretty good indicator of a powerful entity that I would assume is pushing back, as you've noted anecdotally, Aaron, how other individuals around the Capitol note that is a cause as well. I think it's important to point out states like Colorado. Colorado was one of the first states to legalize it in the entire nation. Also has a tremendous craft brewery and alcohol scene as well. So it's not an either or kind of thing. This is something that we see other states prospering in both.
Yeah, definitely. I even know friends who go to Colorado for that reason on vacation, because they think it's great that everything is legalized there.
Yeah, it's definitely I have family members and friends that do as well. Aaron, we appreciate your phone call and your contribution to Town Call today. Aaron, you can be like Aaron. 844-967-2789. You're listening to Town Call across Civic Media. We're discussing the article over at the Wisconsin Journal talking about how the state of Wisconsin is an island in the Midwest, a island in a sea of green, where other states have taken stances to, in some form or another, legalize cannabis. Wisconsin has not, and so recreational marijuana now available in Minnesota, I believe, as of last Tuesday, August 1st, correct?
August 1st.
Yep,
August 1st. I believe you are allowed possession of up to 2 pounds in your own home.
What?
For recreational purposes. Yes, two ounces in public.
2 pounds?
I believe that is what I read, yes.
Is that the equivalent of like a fridge full of beer then? Because like that, 2 pounds feels like a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. But I'm just reading what I see online, Luke.
All right. Was this one of those accidental things? Because wasn't it in Minnesota before the change? Was it edibles became...
When the conservative lawmakers didn't properly read
right,
the bill.
Right, they didn't read it, so it was like an accidental thing before there was a trifecta in Minnesota? Or is this just... This was something that was also passed in the new legislature?
If you keep talking for a little bit, I'll try to dig up the piece where I found that.
Fair enough. Two pounds strikes me as quite a bit to have in your home, because yeah, that feels like a couple fridge fulls of beer if you were going to make a comparison.
Well, perhaps they have that that limitation because if you're growing your own, maybe
that
you have
sounds
a
like
higher
a pretty
quantity.
Bountiful harvest still if you're
that
growing your
does.
Own though.
It's which... like taking up your whole house.
Not taking up your whole house, but a good room out of the house.
Okay, I got you. Star Tribune, home gardeners 21 and older can start planting cannabis indoors in August as long as their harvest does not exceed 2 pounds in dry weight per person in each household. Each resident can
per
plant
person
up to
in
eight
each household
plants.
If you're a family
with no more
of
than four,
flowering
at the same time.
Oh my goodness. Okay. All right.
If you're a family of four, your amount of weed can outweigh your newborn.
No, but you can't. It would have to be 21 and up, I would assume. So
right.
You have to have
home
four.
Home gardeners 21 and
yeah,
older.
You'd have
yeah.
to have four residents in the house over the age of 21. But still, that feels
and
like.
And each resident can plant up to 8 cannabis plants, Luke, with no more than 4 of those flowering at the same time.
Well, the state of Minnesota innovating over there, having. That sounds like a. Most of the policies I know, like in Colorado when it first started, there was provisions preventing homegrown and all of that stuff. So Minnesota just trying to catch up with Colorado because now changes have been made there. Again, it just leaves me with the feeling Wisconsin and Wisconsinites getting left behind in this whole process with no movement on this and having the prohibition of cannabis here in Wisconsin still.
And Luke, I found the Axios Twin Cities article noting that the basics as of Tuesday, people 21 and older can possess up to 2 pounds of cannabis flower for personal use at home and up to 2 ounces in public. The law also sets limits for possession of concentrate and edibles. So I was correct about that. I knew I saw those numbers somewhere. I was not making those up.
That you see, you did more extensive homework. I just had the State Journal piece in front of me. But
I always do my homework, Luke. I thought we've established that at this point.
Always. Okay. 844-967-2789. You're listening to Town Call across Civic Media. We want to hear your thoughts on the subject. Wisconsin being left behind, a island here in the Midwest when it comes to marijuana policy. 844-967-2789. You can call it or text as well. I'm having a hard time getting over that number, Will. It's 2 pounds. Well,
I got another little interesting tidbit that I'd like to throw in, Luke, and yeah. I'd like to hear both your thoughts and the thoughts of the listeners. Give us a call or shoot us a text. In November of 2022, 5 cities and 3 counties in Wisconsin took this question, this very same question that we are discussing today, to the booth through non-binding advisory questions on their local ballots. Of course, Republican and Democratic Wisconsinites alike voted overwhelmingly in support of cannabis legalization, as every single one of these advisory questions was approved by a wide margin. And individual counties, we noted from Aaron's call earlier around the Capitol, right? So he's in Madison. Support reached as high as 81% in Dane County, who also approved expunging convictions for possession of small amounts at that time. So we have seen advisory referendums both at the city and county level in support of this. Milwaukee's decriminalization over the past couple of years. We are seeing throughout the state of Wisconsin, the vast majority of individuals support this, whether it's the Tavern League or our legislators or Reefer Madness, or I don't know what it may or may not be at this point, but there have been opportunities to do something about this problem, and they have not. And, you know, talking in advisory referendums, Luke, perhaps this is why the Wisconsin GOP's proposed shared revenue bill prohibited county or municipalities from holding advisory referendums, because they were aware that these type of results would continue occurring time and time again.
Yeah, it's the public pressure there to see action on this. It seems like some people, it's fallen on deaf ears and they don't want to hear it anymore. 844-967-2789. We want to hear your thoughts here on Town Call. Up next on this Monday afternoon, we got Carol and Madison calling in. Carol, what's on your mind this Monday afternoon?
Well, you know, I think the Tavern League has a ton to do with this. But I would like to flip the focus and say that this could be a real boon for farming in this state. You know, there's a lot of farming technology that could be focused not only towards cannabis, but on hemp, and really look at the prospects for what they're developing out of hemp these days, which then, you know, if cannabis is legal, then we can drop all this crap about how hemp is really cannabis and all of this garbage. I just really think they ought to take a look at family farms and the ability for, you know, not only the medical use, which makes so much more sense. Look at the opiate problem in this state. But then, you know, you look at family farms who can get into the development and craft of cannabis. I don't think this state is going to quit drinking anytime soon. And certainly in the past when I have imbibed in cannabis, I have done it with a beer. And if the, you know, I don't know with the smoking thing, I mean, yeah, people would go outside to be able to smoke and have a beer at a bar, but look at all the smoking rooms and you know, faux smoking areas in bars that people have developed just to maintain the number of people who come into bars. I just think that the focus is nuts for them to just be, you know, carte blanche catering to the Tavern League and missing out on all of the ways in which this money could help schools, the university system, even infrastructure in this state. They're just looking a blind eye at things, and it's just plain stupid at this point because, heck, I'm going to the UP the end of this week, and yeah, the first thing we're going to do is stop over the border and pick up some cannabis.
Of course, of course. You made a great point, Carol. Something that we haven't even touched on today is hemp. You know, 100 years ago, Wisconsin was second in the nation for growing hemp, according to the UW Stevens Point. I have a piece here from Dave Considine, rep from Baraboo, noting that Wisconsin was a national leader in hemp going back to experimental use in the early 1900s with up to 7,000 acres dedicated to hemp farming in 1917. And by the 1940s, we led the nation in hemp production. For a state that is so recognized and built upon our farmlands, we have the opportunity to grow a well-recognized, well-used, versatile product here like hemp. Why would we not be taking that opportunity?
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
Absolutely, Carol. We appreciate your phone call. You can be like Carol, 844-967-2789, discussing a piece over at the Wisconsin State Journal, talking about the state of Wisconsin being an island here in the Midwest. If you've got thoughts on marijuana legalization, or if you're against legalization, we want to hear it too. 844-967-2789. You're listening to Town Call across Civic Media. One more time to kill the
Does your financial strategy include your hopes and dreams? What matters most to you? For over 100 years, Thrivent has helped clients like you find financial solutions for life's important goals. Explore a full range of options, from financial advice and investments to insurance, banking, and generosity programs. To have a heart-to-heart about your finances, contact Mandy Roberts, who you may recognize as Mandy Wright. Call her at 715-470-1303. 715-470-1303. Mandy Roberts proudly serves the Central Wisconsin area. For more details, visit thrivent.com/disclosure.
It doesn't hurt, feels good to help. And when you give blood, you provide a life-saving difference for others. The need doesn't take a summer break. So we have a challenge for you, started by Civic Media's Earl Ingram.
Congratulations to all those people and all of you who donate blood.
Take a selfie while giving blood, then post it along with hashtag Civic Pints. Give blood and you could get a prize too. Find challenge details and a donation center near you at civicmedia.us/giveblood. civicmedia.us/giveblood. She's the newest of seven elected Wisconsin Supreme Court justices. Janet Protasiewicz begins her 10-year term in August when she is sworn in. It's a longtime tradition which includes use of the court's seal created in 1848. But did you know it features the scales of justice, but not carried by a blindfolded Greek goddess? Instead, a hand holds the scales, representing justice is in human hands. It also means everything is official once the seal is stamped on any court documents. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Partly sunny today with an isolated thunderstorm possible this afternoon, a high near 85. Mostly clear tonight, 59. Sunshine, 86 for Tuesday. Tuesday night, clear, 62. Some showers and storms possible for Wednesday, otherwise mostly sunny and 85. Currently, 78 degrees.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
It's the one and only Deagle Double G.
Welcome one, welcome all, welcome back. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. If you'd like to continue our conversation on Wisconsin being the red lead step state in a sea of Midwestern green, don't hesitate to reach out. We would love to continue that conversation. But Luke, I want to pivot to a little bit of a different direction. An idea that you had that I think is really good, and that's using the end of, I'm giving credit where credit's due.
It seems so like you were so begrudged to do it though. You're like it was an afterthought because you started and then you're like, oh crap, I better give credit now. And then I found it funny, Will. I found it.
You're welcome to look at it that way, Luke. But I wanted to give you a shout out because I love giving credit where credit's due, and that is Friday News Dump. Unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on what your time schedule looks like, we got the noon hour. So on Friday, we love covering most Wisconsin headlines of the week, but it doesn't necessarily give us the chance to cover some of the famous Friday news dumps. Of course, to kind of contextualize that, a lot of times bad news tends to get dropped on Friday afternoons because it'll have less coverage. People are going into the weekends. They're not as focused on this information. If there's something that the media or the powers that be might want concealed or might want to not receive as much public attention as it otherwise would have.
A slightly different spin because it's not all just, you know, backroom decisions of, oh, this is when it gets dumped. Sometimes, you know, the best of us, we get a little bit behind. And so before the weekend comes, you want to make sure that you get everything done. And so you're rushing to that Friday night deadline and you're a judge and you're like, oh crap, I got to announce this decision that I've been working on all week. And then it's not notorious or anything like that. It just happens to be, oh, that's right, before I leave for the weekend, I got to do this one thing. And so that can lead to the Friday news dump as well, Will. It's not all
that's fair.
Giant
no, that's fair.
Conspiracy.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
It's just all to just cover up bad news. Yes, there are.
Stereotypically, the Friday news dump is associated with that type of that train of thought.
It is a useful tool if you are looking, if you're somebody responsible for a press release that you know you don't want to necessarily have all those eyeballs on, or it's a story and you're like, oh, I don't want to see the blowback. Yes, you can use the Friday evening, the semblance of the weekend coming upon us to help kind of cover those things. But not everything that happens on a Friday is just like, it's not a scandal. It's not saved for Friday just to throw it out there in the Friday news dump. Sometimes it's just the routine of one of the days of the week, Will's favorite Wednesday of the week, to be the day where you're like, oh crap, before I got a couple of days off, I got to make sure that I finish this assignment kind of thing.
The new rule, Luke, only bad news can be dropped on Friday. People were so sick of Friday being the best day of the week that they were like, oh, we got to find a way to make Friday not as fun for everybody.
Well, I know one individual was probably like happy that this was a Friday news dump because he was like, okay, maybe not everybody's going to see this story, but I think it's something to talk about. And you may have missed it. So we want to discuss it here in the final segment of the Monday edition of Town Call.
That is accurate, Luke. And I guess I will take the lead here. From AP News, Wisconsin judge orders the release of records sought from fake Trump elector. Reading over from the piece published by Scott Bauer, a Wisconsin judge on Friday ordered the State Elections Commission to release all records it had related to one of its Republican members and his role as one of 10 people who posed as fake electors in 2020 for former President Donald Trump. The lawsuit, filed by a union leader represented by the liberal firm Law Forward, sought commission's records related to who else? Robert Spindel, Luke.
Bob Spindel.
Frequent individual of coverage on this show and comments he made about his role as a fake elector. Of course, Spindel is one of the three Republican State Elections Commission members. This is a big deal, Luke. And you're right. I should not have phrased it as it's not all a conspiracy. Sometimes it's just the way that the news comes out for that week or the timing of individuals' schedules that they don't have the ability to get done before the weekend. But this story in particular, this is a really, really big deal. And I can, you know, I'm a little disappointed, but I can understand why it would be dropped at a time like this.
Yeah. And so reading for the piece, the Bauer piece over at the AP, the commission argued that the records are in Spindel's possession, not the commission's. This argument is nonsensical. Records held by the WEC commissioners are in the custody of WEC and must be provided in response to a records request, Dane County Circuit Judge Jacob Frost ruled on Friday. It just seems like a delay tactic where Robert Spindel is just like, oh, no, these are my personal... We've heard this
Who
before.
Who else is doing that right
somebody,
now?
Somebody
like I've
using
heard that
the
argument.
Excuse of, oh, these records are my records. Somebody that is a public official that sits on the state's elections commission does not own his correspondence as in regards to the work that he does on the commission. And for somebody to argue that, oh, no, this is my personal doc. These ones are my personal. We saw it with Fred Prehn. There was a direct correlation of communications that Frederick Prehn had while overstaying his appointment on the Natural Resources Board. He alleged that, oh, these text messages, these are my personal private communications. You can't review them through open records requests. And we've seen Wisconsin open records law show time and time again in court that, yes, you have to turn over the records then when you're discussing matters with these public posts, whether it's the Natural Resources Board, whether it's the Wisconsin Elections Commission. It is not a defense to say, oh, well, those communications, those ones were private, and then not be able to turn over those records. And so, yes, on Friday, we saw now a Dane County Circuit Court judge rule that Robert Spindel has to turn over these communications for his role in the fraudulent elector scheme, because he is one of the 10 fraudulent electors. That, again, as we discussed last week, is at the core of the indictment that was unsealed against former President Donald Trump last week. And so Robert Spindel has to turn over these records. It's going to be interesting to see what's included in them, Will. And it is telling that there is movement, more movement going on in this lawsuit here in Dane County Court.
When you put on the hat of a public official, your role is to represent the public. Your role is working on behalf of the public. You cannot all of a sudden act like this is, you know, private shadowy information. To quote the Law Forward attorney Scott Thompson, most of us believe in open and transparent government. This is doubly true as we seek to gather more information about those who sought to undermine the will of the people, unquote. We talked about this the past couple of weeks, why faith in elections has diminished so much. Perhaps it's because those who are in charge of them are trying to do this. They're trying to hide these. They're trying to hide their correspondence and information behind the vague efforts to say, this is my personal stuff. This is not public, despite the fact that they are working on behalf of the public.
And this is one of two lawsuits working its way through Dane County Circuit Court right now in regards to the fraudulent elector scheme. And so hopefully we're going to see more movement on all of this. The public has a right to learn what was discussed and what was planned surrounding that. And this Friday news dump story, one sign closer to getting answers for the public. Folks, you've been listening to Town Call. We appreciate all of our callers on this fine Monday afternoon. If you miss any portion of the show, go check out the podcast. We'll be back tomorrow at 12:15. Talk to y'all then.
Take it easy, party people.
Smoke weed every day. One call can do it all. Your business's message can be broadcast across the entire state of Wisconsin through the Civic Media Network of stations, or we can focus the campaign in your hometown. We have the flexibility. You have the control. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
She's the newest of seven elected Wisconsin Supreme Court justices. Janet Protasiewicz begins her 10-year term in August when she is sworn in. It's a long-time tradition, which includes use of the court's seal created in 1848. But did you know it features the scales of justice, but not carried by a blindfolded Greek goddess. Instead, a hand holds the scales, representing justice is in human hands. It also means everything is official once the seal is stamped on any court documents. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.